Now going to Kilmatosos, Dibar Maskil Alma. So again, the Gemara had said for Ula, the Gemara assumed for Ula, which does not stand possibly in the Maskana of the Gemara, that Ula says, Ula holds, Kol Heicha De'ika Mamon Malkos Mamon Meshalim Milka Lolaki. According to some girsos, Ula doesn't believe that it's a general rule that always ein adam loka that when you have malchus and mammon that you mishalim. Correct. I said it may not stand. That's why I said it may not stand in the maskana depending on what your girsa says there, and how you understand the limud of the Gemara. Right? There are two girsos: kol heicha or haha. So now let's. So Tosfos wants to know, how did the Gemara know that Ula holds that whenever there's the Maman and Malkos, that Mishalim Vein Aloka? So Tosa says, Toby. Okay. You're taking your pass for the year. I won't remember the next time we pass again. I'll probably forget, but that's all right. Okay. So, Alex, do you want to?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead. Read slowly. In the words of Dr. Seuss in the beginning of Fox and Sox, this Tosis is very dangerous. Take it slowly. Go ahead.
I must have missed that
Fox and Socks?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Look on the inside. It says, this book is dangerous. Take it very slowly. So where the emphasis? Halcha Dafka, specifically here. Here is where you pay money.
Okay, that's what I intend
to do. That's fine.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the question. If the Gemara at the beginning of the Sugya has a drasha, nara hanara besula besulos habsulos, and the Gemara says that trei legufe, and then one for exer shava, and one to teach you avi anara v'lovi amesa, and then you're left with two ribuyim, one l'chayve lavin, and one for chayve kresus. Now, to prime you for what's going to come later, because the end of this Tosos is exceedingly difficult to understand even after you've read it 17 times, where do Chayve Aseh fit in the picture? So let me take a step back for the moment. Why did the Gemara need a drasha of Chad L'Rabbos Chayve Lavin and Chad L'Rabbos Chayve Kresis? Why was it necessary? Mati? The Torah says Velo Siel Isha, which we read as Isha Ru'uyelo, that the parsha of Kanas, the specific parsha of Ones and Mefata, beyond the standard damages, I would have thought that it's only when he is able to marry the woman. Halachically, Ru'uyel Isha. Again, you could talk about be allowed to marry the woman, be able to have the Kedusha Michal, but I would have thought the Gemara's reading is, but why don't we say Velo Siel Isha, be Ru'uya Le'ishas? That was the Gemara's question. The Gemara's answer was, we have two extra ribuyim. One to teach you that even though you're not allowed to marry a woman who's chayve lavin after you ma'anes her, nonetheless, you still have to pay the knas. You still pay the penalty. That penalty that you can pay, you pay. And even though you're not allowed to or able to even marry one of the chayve krisus if you ma'anes them, you still pay a knas. Where does chayve aseh fall into this Gemara? Gemara doesn't say chayve aseh, but where does it fall in? Adin?
Either we lump it in with Chayve Lavin, or it could be it's only rooted Chayve Lavin and Chayve Krisis are lumped together.
Okay, well, the way our Gemara reads, which is Chayve Lavin and Chayve Krisis are two separate things, Tosa says it's lumped together with Chayve Lavin. Why? Because these are both examples of Kiddushin, where the Kiddushin are Chal, but you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to marry them. You're not allowed to live with them. There's no Pashas, although that's a question of a few cases. There's no Isser in the Kiddushin. The Isser is in sleeping with them, in the Bia. So one teaches you cases where you're not allowed to marry them, but the marriage would be chal, the kiddush would be chal, and that you pay a knas in those cases, even though you're not allowed to marry them and you're not supposed to marry them. And the other one teaches you that not only in a case where you're not allowed to marry them, but the marriage is chal, do you pay a knas, but even if it's so far from being able to marry them, in that the marriage isn't even tofes, the kiddush aren't tofsin, still you pay a knas. That was what the Gemara said. Now, when the Gemara says that chayve lavin, you pay a knas, what do you learn derech agav from that?
Mishalim ain't aloka.
Yeah. If you assume that we're not working like Rabbi Meir, if you don't have a principle, if Kedei Rishaso excludes Malkus and Mammon together, the fact that the Torah says that you pay chayvet by someone who is ma'anes or mefateh chayve lavin, and certainly chayve kresus, the fact that you pay tells you that in the case of ones and mefateh, you're lokev ein mishalim. It doesn't have to be a broad shas principle. Right, remember, the Gemara turns around here and asks what, it makes an assumption about Ula, that Ula, as a global rule, step back one more second, what did Ula say? Crucial nekuda. What did Ula say, Alex? So all he said, four words. Kan binara bachos, five, six words. Kan bachos onara, kan bachos abogeres. All he said. He says that the solution in our case to the stira between Mishnayos, since we all know Eidan Amloka Mishalim, except for Reish Lakish, within Rabbi Meir, we all know Eidan Amloka Mishalim, therefore our Mishnah here in Elun Aros is talking about a Nara, where you pay, and you don't get Malkos, and the Mishnah in Malkos, in third parak, is say where you do get Malkos, is a case of a Bogeris where there's no Knas, that's why you get Malkos. How do you know from that Ula believes that every single case in the Torah that Yoloka and Eino Mishal, and Yomishalim v'Eino Loka, and as the Gemara will go on in a moment to say, Mino Ani Mili, how does Ula know this? Maybe Ula holds that it's a din only in Ones and Mefateh. Now you'll say, well, how does he know that? The answer is, because we already saw a drasha at the beginning of the parak. Nara, Nara, Hanara, Besula, Besulos, Habesulos. From that, you have two ribuyim to tell you that in case of chayve lavin, in cases of chayve krasus, you pay knas. And if you're paying knas, then memela, obviously you're not getting malkos. Does that mean that applies in every case in the Torah of malkos and mama? No. This could be a unique thing with an ones and mefateh. So how did the Gemara know? Why did the Gemara assume that you could extrapolate the Kala Tara Kula? Why did the Gemara just assume that it's a specific to Ones and Mefateh, which we already have a Makar for? Now, from a editorial perspective, it should be noted that this might be putting the cart before the horse. Why do I say that? Maybe. Because the assumption, part of the question assumes that the Gemara here knows that drasha. The Gemara does not necessarily know that drasha. I'm going to leave this consideration aside as we move forward, but that, because that piece of the Gemara there is probably a later, it's part of the opening of the parak. And it might be later, than the, I can't tell you for sure, it might be later than the sugya. So again, firstly, Rav Papa may be, Rav Papa's fairly late. Rav Papa's already fifth generation. Reish Lakish, I can give you two. So Reish Lakish is early. I don't know when the Eretz Yisrael Torah makes it to Bavel. There are sugyos. If you want to look in this Masechta, in the first parak, there is a discussion in Baal Bilas Mitzvah on Shabbos, where they're dealing with a particular problem, and the Gemara presents different solutions. And if you look at the solutions, it goes second generation Bavel, third generation Bavel, fourth generation Bavel, and then the Gemara at the bottom of Daf. That was there's a Daf Vav somewhere. All of a sudden starts the quote, Toras Eretz Yisrael, from an earlier generation, Rabbi Ami. And my assumption, I remember this when I taught Ksubas some, I don't know, 13 years ago, was that what you have is a sugya that was constructed in a certain fashion, in order, and then later material comes from Eretz, either comes later, or in terms of the way they edited it, they took the Eretz Yisrael material and they just stuck it on at the end. Well, look at the first, look at the explanation for the Mishnah and Beitza. A first Mishnah in Beitza, the Deos in, go from Rav Nachman, second generation, to then to Rabbah, third generation to Rav Yosef, well, then to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, I think, who are a little later, or almost the same generation, and then the Gemara goes back to Rav Yochanan at the end of the sugya, after quoting four explanations, that Rav Yochanan Savar, possibly because it's Eretz Yisrael, it's coming later, right? Or it's being placed later. So it may very well be that even though Rav Sheish is there, it could be the materialism, in fact, comes to them later. It's possible. But let's accept for the moment that the Gemara is aware of that drasha. And the reason I say the order matters is because it could be that drasha only comes about afterwards, and then you don't have a kasha. Right? Then you can't ask why the Gemara didn't turn to that. In a Hanami, if it had known the drasha, it might have turned to that. So, Sotos' question again is, why does the Gemara feel the need to assume an expansive version of Ula, assume a narrow version of Ula? And it's a din that's limited to Ones and Mefata. Sam, a question? Okay. So, Tosos now says it's something only about the Jewish way, the Talmudic way of doing things. V'ein lomar. We don't give you the answer first. We tell you what the wrong answer is. Okay. Obviously, because Rabbeinu Tam proposed the solution. It could have been formulated as Omer Rabbeinu Tam, and the Tosos would have said V'teima, whatever. But yes, it's Shlaim.
So when we're inferring Mishalim and Olokeh from the way the Gemara goes, from the way the Limud of Nara goes forward, why is that limited to Ula? Whereas the Gemara asks Minale Leula. It should be Minale Leula. It should be like Minalan.
That what?
That Mishalim and Olokeh.
Well, firstly, not everybody agrees. No, not everybody agrees with the implication of the pasuk the way we're being suggested here. In other words, if you're Rabbi Yochanan, how do you read that pasuk? If you're Reish Lakish, how do you read that pasuk?
Yeah,
so Rabbi Yochanan, I can read the pasuk easier. Rabbi Yochanan would say that someone who's ma'anes or mafata chayve lavan chayve krisis is eligible to pay knas, subject to the proviso of a different pasuk, kidei rishaso. If you're not getting malchus, if there was no hasra, so then
it's you. A riot. If you could read it differently, it's not like then. Right. What Tosfos is trying to do here is he's trying to say we already have an assumption that we shall be in a look.
No. So the point is, so you're saying that.
After the assumption. Then
wait. That's going to be that question is. Did you get through the Tosus?
Yeah.
That exact point
maybe
is going to be dealt with. That's was Rabbeinu Tam.
That was a second Tam.
It is, in effect. Tosus' answer that he deflects Rabbeinu Tam with will deflect exactly that. You're saying that there was an alternative way. The reason why he couldn't learn from that, because if he didn't already know as the general principle of Loka Mishalim, maybe he could have read the pasuk like Rabbi Yochanan. I have a better kasha for you. How does Reish Lakish, who said that to Rasha, how does he read the pasuk? The Chikra, Rabbi Meir? Right? Isn't that a problem?
I think so.
You see, well, I believe the answer to Rabbi Nutam is going to answer that question as well. Okay, the Ein Lomar, go ahead. Nara. Okay, so let's for what was Rabbeinu Tam's answer? Let's focus on that for a moment. What? Yudi? No. Rabbeinu Tam is explaining Ula. He's explaining Ula. How do we know that Ula, based upon what Ula said, how do we know that Ula believes that there's a general principle of Mishalim v'Eino Loke? Moshe?
Because you didn't give the answer that one's with Hasra, one's without Hasra, and keeping it with Nara.
Okay, I like that last sentence. You could have spelled that more. Presumably, what you try to do when you make a chiluk is you make the narrowest possible chiluk. Why did Ula have to say that one Mishnah is Benara and one Mishnah is Bebogeres? Why didn't he just say that one Mishnah is Benara and Hisrubo, ba, and one hisrubo, and one mishnah has been nara of a lo hisrubo. Why did it have to say nara and bulgaris? It implied that every nara there would be knas, even in a case of lo hisrubo. Hisrubo, even a case of hisrubo. Is there a question, Zach?
Why do you assume that the kimta of hasra or not hasra is a better, is a smaller kimta than bogeris or not?
Because the act of haba alachoso, which is formulated in an identical fashion, is the same act. Hasra is external. Okay, so you think you could be doche Rabbi Nutam anyway? You think, I think that it's more natural if you have two mishnayos that are formulated identically to say.
I think it's Tosafot Shitasa that hasra without hasra is a better, is would be a better answer. But I'm not so sure it's because the ukimta is a better ukimta. I thought it was maybe like you were saying yesterday. The assumption is that you're gonna get malchus without not being malchus.
No, I understand, but again, Tosus is saying that Ula made a chilek between the Mishnayos, Nara and Bulgaris. Why didn't he make a chilek of Nara, of Hisrubo and Lo Hisrubo, but leave both of them as Nara? That's his words. He should have left both of them as Nara, and one of them Hisrubo, one of them Hisrubo.
Why should he have done that?
I presume because it's less of an Ukimta. You're saying no, not because it's less.
I would say because of what you were saying yesterday, which is that we assume. You get malchus instead of
mamon. Well, you assume it'll be open. Yes, as Tosus is about to say, that's a simpler solution. Okay, hold on. And then I'm going to go back. I want to go to Daniel's comment for a moment. So, Daniel, the teretz that you could have said, which you were asking, maybe you weren't asking it this way, is maybe the reason why Ula couldn't learn from that pasuk that other mishalim ain't aloka, because maybe that pasuk was only in a case of lo hisruba. As Rabbi Yochanan, right? How is Rabbi Yochanan going to read the pasuk that the riboy of nara and besula? How is he going to read the riboy? If Rabbi Yochanan holds that yaloka ve'na mishalim, he has the drasha too. He's going to read it lo hisruba. He's going to read it lo hisruba. So, what would I conclude from that? The fact that Ula could have read that, so you would have said the fact that Ula says, and as that can't be the makar, you could say that can't be the makar for Ula. The reason why maybe Ula doesn't hold it to global principle, why? Maybe because he learned a specific din by Onis and Mefata from that pasuk. So you could have said wrong. You can't say that's why Ula you can't say Ula held as a specific din, and he doesn't hold it globally. Because if Ula didn't hold the principle Mishalim ve'en aloka globally, how would he read that Gzeiras Akasa of Nara Nara Riba? Like Rabbi Yochanan, that it's only Lo Hisrubo. Who told you to read it in a global sense? All the Pasuk tells you is that there are cases in which you can pay by Chayvei Lav and Chayvei Krisis. It doesn't tell you that you always pay by Chayvei Lav and Chayvei Krisis. Now, the answer. Now, so how do you get around that, Taka? Right? That would be a wonderful proof. Right? The fact that even if you wanted to say Ula could have learned from that pasuk, he only would have learned it from that pasuk if he already started out with Mishali Vanaloka. What's the answer? It's the same answer that Tosfos gives to Rabbeinu Tam. Right? The kasha of Rabbeinu Tam's raya was that if Ula held, generally speaking, that Loka Mishalim, he would never have made the Ukimta here to say that by every Nara, you pay, you don't get malchus. He would have said only by anara, by lo hisrubo. Yes, Zach?
If I'm understanding you correctly, I think this is what the Tosafot of Rashi says in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, and he does answer up for the question that this is.
Oh, see, so I'm what I'm saying is actually in Tosafot of Rashi.
In the name of Rabbeinu Tam.
Got it. Okay, right. That's why I told you as soon as you started the question, the answer is the answer to both points. Oh, okay. What was your? That was a good question. You should want that to be your question.
I have a better question.
Okay, what's your better question?
Okay, so the Ri's answer is, or the Ri's answer. The
Wait, can we just answer this question and then you'll do it? Just so, what's the answer?
Also before I ask my question.
What's that?
So, I thought our initial presentation was of the Ri, but I'll wait till we see it inside before I answer.
Okay, so what's the answer? The Ain Zed, don't say this, Ain Lomar. The Ein Zodiac. Why?
The Ein Zodiac. Yikol Lemeimar, the Ulo Saber Lakarish Lakish. The Lo Bai.
Ah, kedamin on the come on. And therefore, the imar binan. Once you're going to be married by the knas from the pasuk, maybe you want to know the way I explain what he's telling me in Tosafot Rashi. You want to know why. Why do you have to read that verse? Why do you have to read that verse as a generic statement that you always pay by Nara? Unless you already know that the global principle is Mishalim Ben Eloka, the answer is no. Maybe he doesn't buy into Rabbi Yochanan's Chiluk, and therefore, once the Torah is Mechayev in one case of Nara, it has to be by all cases of Nara, even if Hisrubo, but maybe that's exceptional. As you want to know, once you're using the pasuk to tell you that there's knas by Chayve Lavin and Chayve Kresos, you want to know why should I read it that way? Why don't I just read the pasuk? Because when you don't get the malchus, the answer is he might not buy into Rabbi Yochanan's whole idea of Imichalik. And once you have a riboy now that tells you Chayve Lavin and Chayve Kresos, that means at least by Ones and Mefata, whenever there's a lav or a kares involved, you do not get malchus, you pay. But who says that that's true? B'chala Torah Tekula. Right? Rabbi Dutam was trying to say in Tosas Rash from the fact that he would darshan the pasuk that way to say that every nara you pay knas and you don't get malchus, and the fact that he makes you kimt in the Mishnah saying that by nara you always pay and don't get malchus instead of saying kankish throughout conscious luba. You want to say that proves that he already knows Mishalim Eloka? No, all that proves is that he doesn't buy into the type of chiluk that Rabbi Yochanan makes, and therefore. Either you say that you're always putter, or you say that you're always chayv on the mama. You can't have it one way. You can't have it kan kishu subo, kan kishalo hisrubo. So Rabbeinu Tam's attempted proof, Tosu says, is wrong. Now Schlein thing has a question. He has a good question. What? Okay. Zach.
I don't understand what Rabbeinu Tam thought he was doing here in the first place, because the whole premise of the question is that for sure you have to say here you pay. Right? The question
no, is, no. You don't have to say you pay in every case of Nara Choso. You only have to pay some of the time at least. Ula, by giving his teretz here, was saying that you always pay by Nara. And it's only by Bulgaris.
Tosa's question is that how do the Ula say you always pay by Nara? What would Ula's makor be for always pay by Nara, as opposed to it being...
Let me step back. There are three possibilities, Zach. One possibility, of the possibilities that could have been here, is that Ula holds that you pay mamon and don't get malchus by ones mefata and Nara achoso if you didn't get hasra. But if you did get the situation roi for malchus, then the malchus pushes off the mamon. Second possibility is that Ula holds that by every Nara, but only by Nara, only by Ones Mefata of Nara, by every Nara Achoso of Ones Mefata, you pay and you don't get Malkos. But not Bechala Torah Kula. And the third possibility is to say that Ula always holds Mishalim Ve'en Oloke. Now, what did Ula actually say? That the Gemara wants to know, how do you know Ula holds number three? What did Ula actually say
maybe
in this Gemara?
He holds number two.
No, not maybe. In the Gemara, he holds at least number two.
Where does the Gemara get that he holds number three? He holds, all we know is that he holds number two.
Two.
But he for sure doesn't hold number one.
He can't hold number one, correct.
So, Rabbeinu Tam is saying...
And how do you know that he can't hold number one?
Because of what he said. Because it would work.
No, because you could have said that the Mishnah Malkus is also talking about Anara, Hisrubo. The fact that he has to say that the Mishnah Malkus is specifically Bulgaris means by no Nara would you get Malkus, which means every Ones Mefata of Nara Choso pays and doesn't get Malkus.
Right. But here...
Now,
so,
right.
At the very least... So the Joseph's question is at the very least, Ula holds here the high Mamon and not Malkus. But how do they know elsewhere?
B'chala Torah Kula, yeah.
From Behinu Tam's answer is... Oh, we know it because here he said that you get mamon and nezek.
Right, so really what he's saying is that if Ula held, it was a lo- you have to fill in, and this is why Tosas Rush, you're quoting, says what he says. If, how would Ula know that it was a local din? What basis would he have said it locally? From the Riboy on the Haftasem and Beis.
We don't know that from his statement here. His statement here only proves...
No, Tosas' kasha is predicated upon that. Tosas says... I understand what you're asking. Is that's why you need the other piece, Tosa Rush, that once you're going to suggest for Ula that it's...
Yeah,
it's Rabbeinu Tam is assuming that. Rabbeinu Tam is assuming that if Ula were to get the din, that a Nara always pays... Knas, you always pay Knas for the Nara, by even though there's Malkos, and you're never a Loka, and he learns it from the Reboy of Nara, Nara, Hanara, the only way he could have learned it from the Reboy of Nara, Nara, Hanara, is if he already had a general principle of Mishalim Veno Loka. Because if you didn't have a general principle, and all you had was the Reboy, you could just read the Pasuk as talking about... Well, it was no Hasra. And the same way you could have made the Ukimta the Mishnah Makos. The fact that he, even if that is his Makar, if he doesn't read the Pasuk as being limited to cases to Shlo Hisrubo, but rather he reads it as to all cases, it must be because he already knows that Adam Mishalem Ve'eno Loka, and all the Pasuk is coming to teach you is, don't think that Chayve Lavan and Chayve Krasis are totally Mufkan from the Parsha because it's not Ru'u Yalav.
Okay, that's saying a lot.
I agree. So I figured it out, Misvara, based upon the question I thought that Shlaim was asking. You're telling me it's spelled out in Tosas Harash. It's actually logical. Once you put it together, the whole logic of Reina Tam makes no sense unless you say that.
But I don't even see why you need this line. What is he saying here? Because Ula doesn't say what Rabbi Yochanan says, therefore...
Well, the point is that he had another way of reading the Pasuk, and Tosas says no. Who says that Ula's willing to buy into Rabbi Yochanan's bifurcation of the Pasuk? That you pay when there's no Malkus, but if there's Malkus, you don't pay. Maybe Ula believes that once the Pasuk says you pay, you always pay. If the Pasuk didn't tell you you'd pay, and you assume that Loka Mishalim is the general rule, you'd always get Malkus, or you'd always never pay. In other words, he thinks that Reish Lakish is correct, that once there's a din that you either pay, or that you're Loka, that's always the din, whether or not you're actually getting the punishment. That's what Tosas responds to Rabbeinu Tam. You see, Rabbeinu Tam's assumption was that of course you could have split the difference. Which means you could have read the Pasuk that way too. How did Ula know to read the Pasuk generically that every Nara you pay? Maybe only with Lo Hisrubo. And we know he read the Pasuk to say, we know that he owes every Nara you pay. That's clear from our Gemara.
Because he doesn't make the
Ukimta. Because he doesn't make the Ukimta. Yeah.
So only because of what he said here.
That's how you know that whatever his Makar is, he's reading it as across the board, and if his makar is nara nara hanara, he's choosing to read that pasuk in every circumstance, not just in cases all hisrubo. But and why would he do that? Just tafastim rubo lo tafastim. Say that pasuk is only when lo hisrubo. The answer is could only be Rabbeinu Tam says because somehow whatever his makar is, you know that Adam is always mishalim v'eino loka. Okay, so now v'omer ri v'nira l'ri. Go ahead. Okay, so what is his answer? You look at this, and I looked at this, and it took me a long time to figure out what he was talking about. Okay? I hope I remember what it was. If not, Nagarin Sprung will remind me of what I said. Okay? So the answer is because... One pasuk is used to be marbe, chayve, ase, and laven together.
Yeah.
Well, that's what he says. I'm just translating. Therefore, that proves that Ula holds bi'alma. That if Ula held that it was a din. If Ula had held that Adam is normally loke u'mishale, and that case is an exception to the rule, then you would not have learned chayve ase and chayve lavin from one pasuk.
No, it's first.
But that's what he says, no?
No, no, but I'm saying the point. His point about learning them together is in the next part.
One second. What, I know, he's going to explain why. Hold on. Okay. Patience. Go ahead. So why? De'ibi alma... If you held that generally the rule was Malkus, and now you had two Ribuyim, now you would learn one for Chayvei Aseh, and you would learn one for Chayvei Lavin. Okay. So now this qualifies what? The last line. You would have learned one for Chayvei Aseh, and one for Chayvei Lavin, then even though Bi'alma Loke Veinu Mishalem, here you're Mishalem Veinu Loke. Aval.
Lo.
What does that mean? Aval Chayvei Krisus Lo. Aval Chayvei Krisus Lo. One word that follows. Yeah, one word. Lo. Mishalem. Chayvei Krisus Lo Mishalem. Why? Mishum. Uchad Rabbanon. Okay. What did Tosis just say? Moshe.
Yeah, so it would be too many chidushim to learn out by Kritos that not only do you pay and not get Malkos, but also we violate the law of only in cases where Kedushin is Tosin. So that would be too many Kedushin to learn out. So we can't learn out the creases. So he would just stick to Chayav Yaseh and Chayav Lavin, where you don't have to deal with the whole other dimension of marriage.
Okay. I think you're fundamentally correct, but I don't think you're really explaining it. Explain it fully. Do people understand what... I just want to know. I know what I think the answer is. I think you're correct.
Wait, can you ask me a question so I can win it?
How many people understood the understand Tosfos now? Right, I believe Moshe, you're 100% correct. I think what you said is correct, but I want to be fleshed out a little bit. You got to think about what's going on in that pasuk. You have to think about what are the alternative possibilities. Right now, before we got to the sugya, what are the two chidushim that are being? You have two drashas. Why didn't you learn everything from one pasuk? Chai ve'aseh, chai ve'lavin. Chayve Krasus. Shlayan?
Because at this point there's a chiluk between Chayve Lavin and Chayve Krasus in that Kedushin and not Tosin by Chayve Krasus.
Okay, therefore, what did the two drushas really teaching you?
So the first drusha is teaching you, even if it's Kedushin, it's not real low, you can do the ordering of this.
Okay, and the but second one teaches you.
The second one teaches you, but even if Kedushin or Bethlah, not
Tosin. Right, not only Shinat Ru'iyalach. But the Kiddushin wouldn't even be Tosin, so maybe there you don't pay Knas. The second one teaches you that. Those are two separate Kiddushin. However, if you need one, if the general rule is Mishalem Ve'eno Loke, and I don't need those two Psukim for anything in our discussion of Loka Mishalem, Mishalem Loke, so the two drashas make perfect sense. But if for Ula, the general rule is Adam Lokev Eina Mishalim. So now, the first thing I need to know is what? What's the first thing I need to know?
That rule doesn't apply.
That rule doesn't apply by Chayve, by Ones and Mefata. I need to know that Adam is Mishalim Eina Loka. So therefore, I have one Ribui to teach me what? That. So what is that Reboy by? Chayve Lavin. Okay.
First you need a different one.
What?
You're using a different one first. That's the second one.
Mm-hmm. Very good, Slyan. That's the second one. And then you're going to want... People are getting confused with this. Before you can learn that Limud, you need to learn something else.
You need to learn that Isha Sheina Ru'uyalo.
First you need to learn that Isha Sheina Ru'uyalo, that this Kanas. But when I tell you a drasha of Isha She'ena Ruya Lo Des Knas, who falls under that category? Chayve Aseis, or also Chayve Lavin, or also Chayve Krasus? Well, if I know what's coming down the pike, Chayve Aseh. Minimally Chayve Aseh. Why don't I also learn Chayve Lavin with that? Because you might think the Pasuk only teaches you Chayve Aseh, in principle Chayve Lavin too, except that by Chayve Lavin it's going to be Loka Mishalim. So the first Pasuk teaches you that to be in the Parsha, you don't need to be Ru'uya. But that, in practice, that might only teach you Chayve Aseh, because Chayve Lavin, you might not learn from that, not as a matter of principle, but in practice, because Adam Loka Vein Mishalim. Now I have another Riboy, so you know what I learned from that? Chayve Lavin. And what's the Chiddush there? The Chiddush isn't that by Chayve Lavin, you pay Knas, that it's in the Parsha. We already knew that from Chayve Aseh. We already knew that just because a woman is not Ru'uya Lach, maybe you still pay Knas, at least as long as Kiddush Natosin. But we might have thought that in practice it only applies to Chayve Aseh because there's no Malkus. But by Chayve Lavin we would have thought, come maybe the Rabamine. Kamash Malan Habsulos, that Chayve Lavin also. And what is that Ribui teaching you? That Mishalim Ve'eno Loka in this case. And now, what does that leave out in the cold? Chayve Kresos. You don't have a limud. How do you know that you that? So that Chayve Kresos, you won't say come later the Rabbi Mina. You know, because it's the same as Lavin. But how do you know that by Chayve Kresos, you're in the Parsha of Knas? Maybe it's not Bichlal Ishus. Not only are you not allowed to marry her, the marriage doesn't even work. So how do you know that that's Bichlal the Parsha of Knas? You don't have a Riboy for it. But if you say that Ula believes generically from somewhere else in the world that Adam is Mishalim v'eino Loka, so obviously this applies to Onesim Mefat as well. You don't need a limit for that. You know, once Ula tells you that Adam Mishalim v'eino Loka bialma, by a case of Onesim Mefat of the Chayve Lavin, you know the person's going to pay and not get Malkos. Assuming they're able to pay. Now the question is, maybe you don't pay by Chayve Lavin, or Chayve Aseh, or Chayve Kresos, why? Because it's not Ru'uyama. So now you need the two drushas, the two ribuyim, Hanara and Habsulos, to teach you, number one, when she's not Ru'uyama, but Kiddushin, Artofsin, and then, Tafasta Merubalo Tafasta, that's why you need a second ribuy, to teach you that even when Kiddushin, when even Mitofsin Bechlal, even at Tosin Bechlal, still she's in the parasha for the purposes of Knas. You can have two different drashos, provided that you don't need one of the ribuyim to teach you the din that by Ones and Mefate, Mishalim Veino Loka. But the only reason why you wouldn't need one of the two ribuyim to teach you Mishalim Veino Loka by Ones and Mefate is because you already know it from somewhere else. That's why Alma Kasavar Ula Kolei Chadika Mamanu Malkus Mamanu Mishalim Veino Loka. He couldn't have possibly learned it as a local exception with an Ones and Mefateh from those psukim, at least. Because otherwise, if you did, you only could have had one for Chayve Aseh and one for Chayve Lavin, but you wouldn't have one for Chayve Kresos. Very harif. Yes, Daniel.
It sounds so harif. How should Rabbi Yochanan respond to?
Rabbi Yochanan, what's the kasha?
So how does Rabbi Yochanan work with Nahara?
Rabbi Yochanan believes Bialma everywhere, actually, Loka Veina Mishalim, with the exception of Edim Zomim, right? With the exception of a couple of exceptions, right? Edim Zomim Chovim. Rabbi Yochanan believes, as a general, Loka Umishalim. Loka Veina Mishalim, excuse me. So now he has a pasuk that says, that's Marbe Chayve Lavin and Chayve Kresos by for the parish of Knas. So you're going to ask a kasha, Rabbi Yochanan, but you're Loka Veina Mishalim. Rabbi Yochanan would say, Lashitaso, yeah, the Torah is telling you that you're eligible for Tashlumin. But it's subject to the limitation of Kidei Rishaso. If you're not getting Malkus, then first by Chayve Aseh, which you obviously don't get Malkus, and Chayve Lavin, in a case where you don't get Malkus, you pay Knas, even though she's in a real Lokus Kiddushin Atosin. And then, in cases of Chayve Kresos, assuming that you would get Malkus in principle, if you happen not to get the Malkus, you're eligible for Knas. It's in the Parsha. It doesn't mean you always get it, but it's in the Parsha. For Yochum, it's no problem.
Okay, so we get Isha Rilo out of the way, and that covers both Chayve Aseh
and Chayve Lavin.
Okay.
That tells you that, again, in situations where there's no other Onesh, the Torah is telling you Chayve Aseh and Chayve Lavin are in the Parsha, and Chayve Kresos are in the Parsha. Because you would have thought that even if you're not getting Malkus, you would have thought you don't pay Knas because it's not Velosei Elisha. Kamash Malan, that even though they're not Ru'uyef Ishus, L'chatchila and then B'di'evet, still you pay Knas, subject to the proviso that it's not two Rishayos.
Okay, so if you held Loka Veina Mishalim, this Rashi makes sense.
Correct. That was the whole point. That, Tosa's kasha, Tosa's a rush formulation, what Zach is telling me, is that if Ula held, if Ula is willing to split it, like Rabbeinu Tam, then Nidrash is perfectly fine. Tosus deflected Rabbeinu Tam's raya only because he said maybe Ula doesn't believe that you can be mechalik between hisrubel and hisrubel. It's an all or nothing, like Rish Lakish.
One second. Okay. So, what exactly is the re trying to demonstrate by bringing in this Rasha?
The re is trying to prove to you why the Gemara assumes that Ula must hold generically Adam. Mishalim ain't a loka. Because if he didn't, and he held that this were a unique din, how would he be able to prove even, how would he be able to learn Chayve Krasis? Because after all, maybe Ula holds like Reish Lakish, that it's an all or nothing, so you can't say Kankish Hisrubo, Kankish Lo Hisrubo. And therefore, if Ula was going to use one of these psukim to teach you the din of Ones and Mefate, that you pay and you don't get Malkos, then the other pasuk could only have taught you Chayve Aseh. The fact that we have a drasha earlier, Chayve Aseh and Lavin 1, and Chayve Krasis 2, and nobody debates that point, nobody seems to debate that point, at least not in the Chacham, not in Tana of the Mishnah. So then, obviously, it's because he doesn't need either pasuk, either riboy, to teach you Mishalim v'en aloka be'onus mafata. And why does he not need a pasuk to teach you that Mishalim v'en aloka be'onus mafata? Because he knows it from somewhere else.
So coming, but the fact that we're reading it, the fact that we're forced into reading the Nahar Nahara Hanahara, not like Reish Lakish, is because he doesn't make the chiluk of. It's because he doesn't make the chiluk of Hasra and Nahara.
Correct.
So how does Re even differ from Rabbeinu Tam?
No, Rabbeinu Tam said that Rabbeinu Tam wanted to prove it from the fact.
What is it like? Both of them are laying without the other one.
No. Tosus wanted to. Rabbeinu Tam wanted to prove it from the fact that he didn't make a chiluk of lucky hisrubo velo hisrubo. The fact that he didn't make such a chiluk tells you that generically he holds loka vena mishalim vena loka. And therefore, by Knas, it's not going to be any different. Tosa said, you can't say that. That doesn't prove it, because maybe the Alma he holds like Reish Lakish. Maybe he holds. You're asking that the way you could be Docha, the way you could be Docha the Reish Teretz is that maybe he does hold like Rabbi Yochanan.
Yeah. And the only reason that we have to say that he doesn't like Rabbi Yochanan.
So you want to say that you need both Terutzim, because if he holds like Reish Lakish, then you have the Reish Teretz. If he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, you have Rabbeinu Tam's Teretz. Very sharp. Very, very sharp. I like that. Okay. Excellent, Schlein. Excellent. Sprung.
That was my really good question.
That is absolutely excellent. I have to think about that, but that's absolutely excellent.
What was the question?
The way Tosus deflected Rabbeinu Tam's Raya is to say maybe Ula held like Reish Lakish on the principle of the matter.
Therefore, him saying yes doesn't prove.
Correct. Now, within the Re, the fact that he darshans the way he does, and doesn't have Chad L'Chai Ve'asen, Chad L'Chai Ve'lavin, shows you that he already knew that Mishalei Ve'en Aloka. But Shlayan says, if he held like Rabbi Yochanan, then what? Spell it out again.
Okay, if he holds like Rabbi Yochanan,
yeah,
then he can just read the drasha of Nahar Nahara Ha Nahara as not indicating Mishalim Ein Aloka, as indicating Aloka Ben Mishalim, and then we're Homsay. Or not Homsay, Homsay.
I mean, if he already knows the svara, if you read the pasuk by Chayve Lavin, and Krasus, if you read it as talking about a case only when Lo Hisrubo, and Rabbi Yochanan already knows that, for however he knows that, right, that Alpi svara, if you get the Malkos, you don't get it's Kedei Rish Aseh. But if you don't get the Malkos, so then why shouldn't you pay the money? So then it's not a then it's not a raya that he holds be'alma, mishalim v'ena loka. Normally he holds loka and mishalim, but only kishahisrubo. In a case of lo hisrubo, by default you would pay the money. So the two psukim here, one that teaches you chai ve'aseh and lavin, and one teaches you kresus, no, you're wrong, Shlaim. No. It's not about reading the psukim. The problem is, if Ula were thinking in those terms, what would the din be? Ula clearly is cholek on Rabbi Yochanan's din, because he says kamachosanara kamachosabogeres. I don't know, but the point is that it's either a generic din bialma, or he learns specifically from here. But if he learns specifically from here, he wouldn't have learned chayvei. From Ones Mefata, that by Ones Mefata, you're always Mishalim Veino Loke, then he wouldn't have Darshan Chayve Krasus. It doesn't matter what he holds like Bi'alma, whether he holds like Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. The bottom line, it doesn't matter what he holds. What he Darshans here is that generically, is that Ones Mefata by Nara are always Mishalim Veino.
Prove that he Darshans generically from this.
No, he says that. He says, "Kan b'bogeres, kan b'nara." So now the question is, how did the Gemara
not generically, locally?
Yes, locally. He holds at least of number two.
Which is number two?
Number two is that by Ones Semifata you always pay, but not necessarily Alma. Number three is the generic one.
Ones Semifata you always pay.
Okay, number one is Rabbi Yochanan, that you only pay by Ones Semifata when you're not, when Lo Hisrubo. And number three. Number one is that you pay only by you always loke eina mishalim, and even by onus mefata unless you don't get the malchus. Number two is that ba'alma loke mishalim, but by onus mefata you always pay. And number three is that you're always mishalim v'ena loke. Ula said the din of at least number two, and the Gemara wants to extrapolate to number three. So the Rish says, how does the Gemara know that if Ula holds of number two, then he must also hold of number three? Right? That's a way of formulating it. All Ula said was number two. How do you know that means he must hold number three? Maybe, he has the drasha of the Ribuyim. So Tosef says that if he had the drasha of the Ribuyim, he would never have learned Chayvei Krasus. Because we needed one drasha to teach you, that you always pay by Ones Mefata, even if you get Malkos, and one drasha to teach you Ru'uyala, and you wouldn't have Chayve Krasus, where it's totally non-Ru'uyala. He can't hold like Rabbi Yochanan by Ones Mefata.
He can't hold of Rabbi Yochanan's din.
By Ones Mefata.
But he can hold of the general principle of Lok Be'en Mishal, which is...
Correct. He could still. But then the question would be, why would we have Darshan Chad the Chayve Aseh V'Lavin and one for Chayve Krasus? It should have been one for Chayve Aseh and one for Chayve Lavin.
Okay, how does Rabbi
Rabbi Yochanan is cholek legamri. Rabbi Yochanan says not number three and not number two. He says that by all cases you're always lokum mishalim unless you don't happen to get the malchus. So he would say that we don't need a pasuk to teach you anything. We know kidei b'shaso and kam lebe the rabbi, you get malchus. The pasuk has to teach you that in theory, should there be no kum lebe the rabbi minei, is maman or shayach by chayve lavin and chayve kris? Are they in the parsha?
Fine. But what gets us to the point where number three is cholik on number one? Or where Ula is cholik on number one? Sorry. What gets us to that point? How do we know that Ula is cholik on number one?
How do we know? Because he says, Kan bachoso bogeres. He should have said, Nara velo hisrubo.
Precisely. That's Rabbeinu Tam.
Except for that Rabbeinu Tam, the fact that he, until you get, Rabbeinu Tam said, I'll fill in the drasha part. Rabbeinu Tam said that Ula, the fact that Ula didn't read the pasuk is only dealing with a case of lo hisrubo, shows you that he holds that Adam is always mishalim ve'eno loke. Because otherwise he could have read the pasuk like Rabbi Yochanan. Tosef says no. Who says he buys into Rabbeinu Tam's svara, into Rabbi Yochanan's svara? Maybe he thinks that the pasuk, when it tells you within, it's got to be everything or nothing. Maybe he holds like Reish Lakish.
Yeah.
But Here, he definitely does not hold like Rabbi Yochanan by onus and mefata. For sure not. Because he says it explicitly. The kambachos of bogeres.
At this point, like, I think I'm so far removed from what I was in, like, what we were originally saying that
I liked the charifos, but it was too sharp. It was too sharp. When I had to explain, it sounded very appealing to me at first, but when I had to explain it over to Zach, I realized I couldn't explain it. Because I saw where I think it falls through. Right? The key is that it is possible that Ula who says, Mishalem ve'eno loke by Onesa Mefata, he could hold bi'alma that you're always loke ve'eno Mishalem and whether you get the Malkus or not.
Okay, so I guess the best remaining question would be, how does Reish Lakish read?
Oh, that's a different story. How does Reish Lakish read the Pasuk? Nah. He'd have to say that, like by Truma, it's an exception to the rule. Yeah, it's, you know, at a certain point it makes it harder to understand. Okay. Hard to defend this position. Yes, Zach.
But one thing I think that the Justice of Rush also explains the answer to the question I made for Reish Lakish, how to know who doesn't hold like Reish Lakish, because you could say that Reish Lakish would interpret the Pasuk. Reish Lakish can theoretically make a chilek in the Pesukim. That's not an issue. If the Pasuk says it, so then the Pasuk
right.
Can make a chilek in Israel. So that's not like it. That's not a big problem. Like, what Reish Lakish would say about the Pasuk, even the Pasuk can be an exception, like you were just saying. The other thing is that, the way I understood the reading is that he's saying, the question was, there are two options. Either Ula holds it in general, or he holds it because of Naharan Ahana. And the reason only is proven
specifically by Onis and Mefata.
How does he get to the din here? Either it's got to be in general, or it's got to be because of Nara and Ahana. Right?
Right.
Okay, so all that he's saying is that it can't be Nara and Ahana because of Nara and with Croesus.
Right.
As opposed to, it's not because of the way Ula works on the Pasuk, you see from that he holds in general.
Well, we don't know how Ula works on the Pasuk.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying that all the Ri is saying is that your other suggestion doesn't work. Therefore, you have to say it's valid.
Okay. Correct. Right. In theory, he could have another limud somewhere that it's only Onis and Mefata.
If so, does it?
And as the Nara Nara Hanara won't work, but maybe he's got another limud. Correct. Okay.
But since we don't see another limud, so then.
So we assume it's generic, right? Why? Once, in other words, the only reason why we would assume that specific tonis mafat is because we already know there's a drasha about chayim kasa. If not for that, we would assume, yeah, it's a logical assumption. If he says here, loke mishalim ena loke, it's because he generally holds mishalim ena loke. Okay, the tosas ishanim is not simple either. I have lots of ideas float in my head, but I want to get to the beginning first. Yitzi.
I'm just, for Rabbi Yochanan, why does he need the chiluk between habaya and enam tosi? If his whole point is anyway that if there's no
Hatra... No, but you still might have thought that it's not in the Torah. Forget Malkus for the moment.
Yeah.
The Torah says that this parasha is talking about a girl he can marry, Vilosi Elisha. So maybe the parasha is not talking about Chayvei Lavin or Chayvei Krasis.
He doesn't have to address that question. But
for Rabbi Yochanan, the Makor is nothing to do with these Psukim. These psukim happen to tell you that you can theoretically pay knas for chayvei alav and chayvei krasis. Rabbi Yochanan would just say yes, but even though you theoretically pay, you only pay if you don't actually get malchus. Yeah, he's right. These psukim are not addressing the issue at all. They're just telling you that bichlal the parsha of nara of ones and mefata happens to be even the naros who are psulos to you. Okay, now let's take a look at teisus shishanim. And who is reading for me? John, are you up to reading this? Continue? What's that? All right, Alex?
We didn't get it.
Did anybody get the Tosfos Shishanim?
Understood it probably better than 60%
70%. Okay. Did you get the Kasha and Rabbeinu Tam? So I want to just explain the first part. I'll read and explain the first part. We're not going to get through the whole thing now. We'll stop whenever we finish this, unless it's too late, but we have a few minutes. Just a few minutes. The Ode Perish Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam wants to make a deal. Make another suggestion. How do we know that Ula holds generically? The Diak, the Mamona Mishalem globally, not just by the knas of ones umefata, which is what the psukim are talking about, right? In other words, remember that the gzeira shava, the riboy of besula, besulos, habsulos, nara, nara, hanara, teaches you what do you pay by chayve lavin or chayve kresus? Which part of the tashlumin? Some, all, half? What are you talking about? Knas only. Why is it not also teaching you about poshes, pegam, and tsar? Because why would I have thought that you're putter from paying boshes and pegam and tsar just because you raped your sister? Knas is exeris akosav in that parsha, and it says velosi elisha, maybe only shariyalo. But boshes and pegam and tsar, I would have thought it wouldn't have made a difference. The only situation, what situation might I have thought that you don't pay boshes, pegam, and tsar? If there was a kama, maybe the rabba minei. But mitzad the parsha, the drasha of the two ribuyim, which is there to override isha ru'uyalo, it's only talking about knas. So the question is, maybe Ula could have learned from there that the knas of ones and mefata, you pay and you don't get malchus. But that, if he learned from that din, what would the din for Ula have been by boshes and tsar and pegam? What would you have said? If there was no knas under discussion, if the only shaila was boshes, pegam, and tsar of achoso, what would Ula have said? Loka in a shalom, a shalom in a loka. Let me repeat. Tosa says, maybe Ula believes that the din of Mishalim Bein Aloka is based upon Xeris HaKasa for the two Ribuyim, Hanara and Hapsulos. And Ba'alma, what would Ula hold the din is? Loka Bein Mishalim. Only by Ones and Mefata do we say, because of the Ribuyim, do you say Mishalim Bein Aloka. What Tashlumen are we talking about again? Knas. That's all the parshas being Mechadish for you. If the Torah had not given us a parsha of Ones and Mefata, what would you have said the din is if you're Ones and Mefata, girl? You would have said, you pay Nezek. Whatever Nezek includes. So, I then ask you, if in fact our Havamin and Ula, the alternative from what the Gemara said was correct, that you don't pay instead of Malkos, except for by the Knas of Ones and Mefata, what would the din be by a case where there was no knas for whatever technical reason, but there was, now let's say a bogeris, there's no knas, but there was boshes and pagam, and he did it to achoso. Should the din then be according to Ula? Loka ve'enu mishalim, because it's regular mamanos, there's no special ribu here. If that's what Ula held bi'alma. So Rabbeinu Tam says, midbarech bogeris, Va'ika boshes upagam u'mishani b'shota, v'lo mishani deloka ve'ena mishalem. What was his riot? Because the Gemara discusses Ula Shita, and it says that what was the Ula said kam b'bogeres? By a bogeres, what's the din according to Ula? Loka ve'ena mishalem. So the Gemara asks Akasha. The Gemara thought that when Ula said kam b'nara kam b'bogeres, he was saying that in a case of nara you pay, once you pay there's no malchus. But if there's no tashlumen by bogeres, then you get malchus. But the Gemara asks Akasha, but there is mamon by bogeres, what mamon? Boshes upagam. But if Ula had held that generically you lokev in mishalim, what was the Gemara's kasha? So you see that Ula held that it's a global din. Now, you immediately should realize what the kasha is. When I read this line of Rabbeinu Tam and understood what he was saying, I realized immediately what the kasha was, but I was jumping up and down when I saw Tosus ask the kasha. What is the kasha? So, Ela vadai sabar de ba'alma nami mamona mishalim velo laki. So Rabbeinu Tam concludes. Yitzi? Yet the Gemara's discussion in the Stam is predicated upon its assumption of what Ula held. If Ula had uttered the shakla vitarya of boshes and pegam, it would be a raya what Ula was thinking. Not why he was thinking it, but what he was thinking. But we're questioning whether he's even thinking that. That's why the kasha, the ein nireh sheyehei zem mi duvre Ula, ela talmudahu de ka'amar le. It's the Gemara speaking. Tosa says, it's not mashma that this is ula. It's the stam of the Gemara speaking. The stam of the Gemara is only formulating the kasha and the teretz based upon the way it understands ula. But we are asking, why does the stam of the Gemara understand ula that way? So you can't answer that question saying, we know that the reason why the stam of the Gemara understands ula that way is because the stam of the Gemara understands ula that way. That's what Rabbeinu Tam's teretz boiled down to. That's what Tosa says, what are you talking about? You have to bring a raya from something that ula himself said. Not from how the Gemara then explores Ula Shita, because we want to know why does the Gemara assume in the first place that Ula held that way. This shows you that Tosos could have gotten a PhD in academic Talmud. The Baal HaTosos, I said that tongue in cheek, even without Nagar's editorial comment. The Baal HaTosos in many places in Shas are very sensitive to the difference between the language of the Amoraim, the layers, and the interpretation of the Gemara. There is what should be a well-known Tosus to you, on the first Tosus, on the last Amud in Baba Basra. The Gemara there has a machlokas about a very important topic within Shibud. And the Gemara says that Hilchasa milval peh govim and ayorshim, Amar apapa Hilchasa milval peh govim and ayorshim ve'ina govim and lakuchos. When you have a loan without a shtar, so there's no kol, so the people don't know to beware that there's a lien. So we say you don't get a lien, but we say you can collect from the Yorshim. Why do you collect from the Yorshim, even if it's a milva alpeh? Because the Yorshim didn't spend any money on the fields they inherited from their father. It happened to Mela. So there's no loss to the Yorshim by making them pay back from the father's estate for a loan that didn't have a shtar. But if you allow the malveh to collect from people who bought from the loveh, so if there was no shtar, there was no warning, there was no kol, and people didn't know there was a lien on the field, and now the lakuchos spent money on the fields, and they're out that money. So because of saved to the lakuchos, I already said too much there, but we don't allow you to collect from a milveh alpeh from lakuchos, from people who bought property from the borrower. So the Rapapa says that then, milveh alpeh, govim and ayoshim ve'ina govim lakuchos. If you look at the reason the Gemara Baba Basra gives, what it amounts to is that Shibud, you don't have to, if you know the sugi a little bit, you'll get a little bit. If you don't know much, you'll hear some ideas. Once the Gemara Baba Basra makes it sound like the principle of Shibud was invented by the Chachamim, and they invented it by Milva Bushtar, but they didn't invent it by Milva Alpeh. If you look at the very same statement, the Rapapa in Ksubos, the continuation, in Kiddushin, excuse me, in the first parak, I think it's around Daf Yud, you'll look at Tosas on Kuf Ayin, Vavam and Aleph and Baba Basra, that's where it is. The Gemara there gives a different explanation. It says that Milval Peh Govim and Ayorshim because Shibud de Doraisa. Eina Govim Larakuchos because the Chachamim canceled it by Milval Peh because it said the Lakuchos. So there's a stira between the two Gemaras. And there must be six different answers in the Rishonim to explain one Gemara is paskening the concept of Shibud is Doraisa. One Gemara in Baba Basra is paskening that the concept is only the Rabbanon and the Rabbanon invented it. So some Rishonim say you're talking about two different kinds of Chiyuvim. Some Rishonim give this teretz, some Rishonim give that teretz. Rabbeinu Tam comes along and says, "There's no machloket, there's no problem." Rav Papa said the same thing in both Gemaras. You have a machloket. The rest of the Gemara is not Rav Papa speaking; it's Divrei HaGemara, and it's a machloket asugyos. The sugi and kiddushin understood Rav Papa one way, and the sugi and Baba Basra understood Rav Papa the other way. And he says, "You'll find." I should quote you the line, lest you think this is just obscure koros that happens, you know, once in a blue moon. So Baal HaTosos's comment, V'yesh l'farish the rapapa lo'omer ela milval peh govim ayorshim v'govim l'kuchos u'gimora mefarish l'hoch l'man damar shibud l'av d'raisa v'as l'man nishu d'raisa v'havi kimo in ikad da'amri mils. It's like an ikad da'amri almost. And then Tosos says, I think he says it here, if not, he says it elsewhere. That's really what I wanted. That you find in many places in Shas like that. Now, he doesn't say it here. I think he says it by a different case in Mabitzir Kufid Beis. Yevchein Timse Bahar Be'Mekomos Bashas. There are many times that the Gemara basically interprets the statement of Amroim in two different fashions. What that means is that the Gemara has two layers. It has the Amoraic statement and it has a Perush on the Amora statement. But what that opens the possibility up is that if that's one perush on what the Amora said, it's possible that there's a different perush on what the Amora said. Now, very often, as what Tosis is saying, is we know that another sugya interpreted it differently. Sometimes you might have a Yushalmi that interprets the Amora differently. And sometimes you might argue, but you better be prepared to have good kinds of rayas, minasvara, even if there's no sugya that proves that there's another interpretation of the Amora, that there could have been a different interpretation of that Amora. So that is one of the common methods that you will find that someone like Professor Weiss Halivni likes to do, which is to split the layers up and say, but I'm going to give a different interpretation of what the Amora said. The difficulty I have often with some of the stuff in the academy is that it's often very speculative. And as when you have another sugi in the Bavli, or you have a sugi in the Yerushalmi, it becomes clear. But when you don't, you're skating on thin ice. I don't mean theologically, but just intellectually speaking, because you might think you have a very nice svara, but the question is, what kind of evidence can you bring to it? Other than the fact that you think that it's a dachlik interpretation. That's very nice, but it would be nice if you have some type of evidence for your particular interpretation. So I'm not saying you never find something that's really strong and good in that regard, but it's not always easy if you don't have an alternate sugya, be it in the Bavli, be it in the Yushalmi, through which to look at the, you know, another lens to which to understand the Amora's words. What's that?
You still want to reject the dachuk
understanding. Okay, so there's a reason why you do. You only do it when it's dachuk, you know, but nonetheless, so you realize that you have to decide, you know, maybe there's a reason for the dohak that's not that the Gemara, you know, understood it differently than the original intent, but rather maybe there's a particular reason for it. I do like to conclude by one comment. When you do this type of thing, it is sometimes you will see, scholars will write, that the Gemara misunderstood the words of the Amora. Now, it is possible from a historical vantage point that that is in fact correct, but as B'nai Beis Medrash, we don't talk that way. We can say that the Gemara interpreted in a different fashion than it could have interpreted in a different fashion than original intent, but I think we speak with a certain respect for the Balei HaGemara, and therefore I don't think it's appropriate to speak in that particular fashion. I'm not denying the actual physical reality. It might have been understood differently because they didn't have certain information available, which maybe they would have understood it with the correct original, with the original intent. If you're postmodern, then you have less of a problem anyway in the first place. But anyway, but this example of Tosus is Tosus's awareness that the Gemara is comprised of layers, and you have to know what the Amora said and what is the Gemara's perush on it. Okay, we will, God willing, tomorrow complete Tosus Yeshanim and do the last Tosus on the subject.